Access number 30400, Mr. Ralph Main, Rail 3. Now, what happened next? We're coming to the point where the Chinese attack you, you know, the main Chinese army attack you. Now, I don't know when this is, because I'm not an expert on this, but we can look it up. But
I think it must have been about October, November time.
Okay, well, we'll look it up and fill in the dates.
I think it must be somewhere around there, and we just got told to pull down. And
now, did they attack you and then you retreat, or did they attack further on the line?
Attacked further on the line and we got out of it, because otherwise we would have been cut off.
And what was the retreat like?
A bit of a shambles, really. Sometimes we were marching and sometimes we were in our own vehicles.
Which way were you going back?
We went back the same way along the west coast again, the same way as we went up.
Now, did you have enough vehicles to take you all in, or were you marching?
No, most of it was marching. Now and again you had a bit of a vehicle, but most of it was marching.
Now, how tough was that? Because it was still cold.
Still very cold, yeah. Well, once you're moving, you're more or less keeping a bit warm than if you're standing about in a trench. So it wasn't too bad, except you're pretty tired.
Yeah. How many miles were you going in a march?
Well, each day, I suppose, 9, 10, maybe something like that. Just more or less keeping ahead of them coming down.
I know you've got one story, you just told me off tape. Tell us that again, about your boots. And
That was when they come round and they cut the American 2nd Division off.
Now, you were with the American?
We were attached to the American 2nd Division. And from what I hear, the Americans offered our colonel transport the next day, but he said no, we'll march out. And we marched out that night about 20 odd mile, and I just put on a new pair of boots, so the next morning when we stopped the boots were full of blood, and I'd had a pretty rough feat at that time. But when we stopped, we were told that we were going to get transport to go up to Koonery Pass. The Americans drove us up to Koonery Pass.
Now, how do you spell Koonery?
K-U-N-I and then R-I, as far as I remember.
And now, what was the situation when you got to there?
We had dug in either side. We were one side of the main road, and the other side. We held the gap while most of the 2nd Division got through, but a lot of them were caught out.
Now, what were your defensive positions like?
Just on the side of the hill and dug in a trench, that's all.
How far could you get down in that time?
Get down, or should I say, what? From where the road was and we were positioned, I should say it was about 500-600 yards. That was the road where the Americans were coming through. And they were getting machine gunned and mortared most of the time they were coming through.
Were they attacking your positions?
They weren't attacking our positions, no. They stopped that and they were holding their positions one side of the road.
So they were just engaging the troops?
They were just passing through with the vehicles and that, yeah.
And it sounds pretty bad, to be honest.
Well, yeah, the Americans had a very rough time of it there, I know.
In fact, you were probably better. What about, you were covering the retreat, I mean, what about, there's always that difficult bit at the end when they've gone and you have to go.
Well, we never had really any trouble getting out after that. We just, more or less off the side of the hill, we never saw anyone, and we got off, and I took it that they, afterwards thinking about it, maybe the commissar said, well, we're here, now gone, we'll have another talk until another agreement is reached. But we didn't see a lot of them then until after we got down around Solway.
How far is that roughly from the pass? Roughly.
About 100 miles, I suppose, something
so
like
that.
So
took you quite a while.
Took quite a while.
Were you marching mostly, or in trucks?
Or in Brengon carriage, whatever you had, you know.
And what about the local population? What was their attitude like?
We didn't see a lot of the population, only as refugees up and down the roads, marching up and down the roads, getting out of it.
And what state were they in?
Oh, they were in a bad state because they had they only had the clothing and a bit of food they could stand up in.
And didn't have any vehicles with the possessions on?
No, none at all, no. They just had maybe a cart, pulling a cart, or I never saw any horses, just maybe pulling a cart with their stuff in. But then they were liable to get something from the Americans when they come down the road. So,
So what happened next? You're pulling back towards
Seoul. We got to Seoul, and we walked across the ice at Seoul, because there was only one bridge at that time, and they'd already mined that. But we walked across on the south bank at Seoul and dug in on the south bank.
Now, which river is that?
River Han.
H-A-N.
H-A-N, yeah.
I mean, the ice, I presume, was really thick.
Oh, yeah, it was thick. A few shell holes in it, in the middle of it, where the shells had, dropped in the middle.
So you were taking up defensive positions on the...
On the south bank, yeah.
So what happens next?
We stayed there, I think, for about a week. Nothing had happened, and we pulled back again from there. And as far as I remember, we didn't have much contact there with them.
So you were being relatively lucky. So where were you retreating to? What, you were again retreating because everyone else?
Retreating with everyone else, yeah.
So where were you going to back from Seoul?
Oh, I can't remember the places we went from Seoul after that. I know we ended up at a place called Cap Yong. And the Argos...
Cap Yong?
Cap Yong, yeah.
K-A-P...
P, and I think it's Y-O-N. The Argos, we were back about that time ready to go back to Hong Kong. And we'd seen some of them attacks on us. But not a lot. But the Argos went to Incheon and they got on the ship. And we were due to go, and then the Gloucesters copped it and they called us back to a place called Cap Yon. And that's where we were at Cap Yon on the road there, above the road, with the Canadians one side and New Zealand gunners the other side. So they were coming down then pretty thick at that time.
And what do you remember of that? I mean, it's always difficult to describe a fighting, but
well, we were on that hill. They attacked twice, not in large numbers, because they got driven off by the artillery and us. The Canadians were cut off for a while and they had to airdrop their supplies to them. But we stayed there until things had quietened down and then we went back to Hong Kong from there.
I mean, could you see the Chinese? I mean, were you firing?
Oh, yeah, we could see the Chinese, yeah.
What range could you open fire at?
Oh, 200 yards or so, that, maybe.
So quite close?
Oh, yeah, quite close, yeah.
Because you could fire up to 600?
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah, they were quite close then. Because they were coming through and nipping through with some of the refugees as well. So, in the end, when they got near you, they would leave the refugees and come up the hill, maybe.
But they weren't. This wasn't a mass attack,
That wasn't a mass attack. No, that was the obvious. We'd had a mass attack before that, where one company...
Where was that? That wasn't you?
That was before then. It was on a bund in the middle of the paddy fields. And they came in on us there one morning. But they drove them off.
They came in on another company?
This was on another company.
Not on your company.
A company caught most of it, yeah, that day. And they had quite a few killed and wounded.
Now, what about this? So this one on Cap Yon Hill, that's your first real experience in action, is it?
That was the first really one where, they had quite a few of them coming at you, yeah. The rest of it, more or less, was they going up, they were more retreating, so you didn't see many of them. And coming down, they were coming down the hundreds, and you were told to leave. So, you maybe see the odd one, but that was it.
Was it a fairly desperate situation on the hill, or were you always confident you'd hold it?
Well, we thought we would hold it, but as I said, they weren't coming in large masses. They were coming in maybe 100 or something like that. And then when they got nowhere, they were off again. But at that time, you're getting to the time when it becomes stalemate. They were rigid positions then, you were fixed positions. They never did anything after that. They were just dug in.
Now, what happened to you? So you held your positions?
We held our positions, yeah, and we stayed there until we got sent back to Hong Kong.
Now, how long were you on Cap Yon Hill?
As far as I remember, until it quietened down, it's about maybe 2 weeks, maybe a bit more, I'm not sure.
Were you attacked again?
No, we weren't attacked again after the first ones.
Did you sort of set up a proper defensive position up there?
Oh, yeah, we were all dug in up there, yeah.
Did you have to do it this time, rather than, take over other people?
Oh, no, we always did our own.
So, tell me about what were the defences like?
They were more or less round at the top of the hill, in more or less a semicircle around one side and facing up the road where they were coming from. And, of course, you had the ones at the back, in case they got round the back of you. But it was easy digging in then because the ground wasn't frozen. And freezing, when it was freezing, you couldn't really dig a hole very deep.
And you'd wire up and put out these mines.
There was no wiring went on there. No.
Why not?
We didn't have supplies of wire and mines then. There was no wiring at all.
So that left you a bit vulnerable to a mass attack?
Oh yeah, it left us very vulnerable to a mass attack, yeah. But there was no wiring when up there.
Were the trenches continuous or just slit trenches?
Just slit trenches, yeah. They were never continuous, just slit trenches.
So it'd be you and two or three of your mates?
Yeah, one or two in a trench, yeah. Usually two.
And you just lived in there. What were conditions like? Was it tough up there?
Yeah, you just stood your time at night, your sentry at night or during the day, and you just got your head down at night in the hole, or maybe if you were out of a sleeping bag, you would get head down in that. But you were just out in the open all the time.
Were you getting your food brought up?
We still had our sea rations issues.
Still on American rations?
Yeah, still on American rations. We still had that. The 29 Brigade had all their own stuff, but we didn't.
Now, what did you think of your officers in this action? I mean, you know, you don't see much of them in training. This is where they this is where they earn their money, really, isn't it? What did you think of your officers' performance in action?
Our officers were all right. Maybe there was one or two who you didn't see a lot of, like the majors and that, because they'd stay in the hole and direct from there. But our officers, our platoon commanders, were quite all right.
And did you have confidence that they knew their stuff? You know, in other words, they were competent.
Well, you thought they'd have to be confident, but I don't think really you'd know whether they were or not. You were just told what to do, and you did it, regardless of what they, you know, thought that they were doing their job or not.
Now, what about the NCOs? I mean, how were they performing in action?
Well, the NCOs were completely different when you're in action. They're more or less quieting down and more friendly towards you. Because I think they think if they can get nasty, they can get a bullet in the back.
You think that really worried them?
I think it did worry some of them, yeah. And especially the ones who could be a bit nasty. I think it did worry some of them.
Do you think they knew that? I mean, were they good in action? I mean, did they help their officers? Did they?
Oh, yeah, they did.
Did they help you?
They helped us and they helped the officers too, but they were fairly good. Yeah.
Anything else you remember about the fighting before you leave?
No, I can't remember anything else about the fighting. I know where the Canadians were cut off for a while. They've got airdrop, and the New Zealand gunners were the other side of us. And they were firing over the 25-pounders over open sights at them at one time. But that's as much as I remember there.
So who were you replaced by? The Gloucesters, was it?
No, the Gloucesters at that time, they called us back because the Gloucesters had caught it.
Yeah.
I'm not sure who replaced us now. I never took a lot of notes because we were just too glad to get out.
How did you feel, Ted?
To get out? a lot relieved, I should think, yeah. Get back to Hong Kong. And we went to a different camp and we got back to Hong Kong.
Now, do you know when you got back to Hong Kong?
I think it must have been about... No, I know we do, but 9 or 10 months out there, so... August, it's been April, May or something around that way.
So 15
July, August, September, November. It must have been about May, somewhere April or May, somewhere around there.
Of 51?
Yeah.
Well, we'll look at, I'll put it in the catalogue from when I look at the Middlesex book. Mm. Now, which camp were you at this time?
We were at a camp called San Mui. It was at Fanling, the same place.
And how... Fanling and San Wai?
San Wai, S-A-N, and I think it's W-A-I, I'm not sure.
W-A-I.
Yeah. And this was Nissen Huts, it was a lot better.
And, you preferred the Nissen Huts?
Well, the Nissen Huts were better than the stables, let's put it that way.
And what was life like when you got back after all this to-do?
Well, you were glad to be back, it was a lot quieter, and you were glad to get down to Hong Kong sometimes, you know, for a bit of leave or that, you know, look round.
What was the lifestyle? I mean, how would you spend a typical day when you got down there?
What, Hong Kong?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you'd go to a cinema or a dance hall if you were dancing, like. But mostly it was a cinema or you'd go for drinks.
Did you drink any more by this time?
No, I didn't like beer all that much. I had some sometimes, but I didn't like it all that much.
What about the dance halls? What were they like?
Dance halls were not too bad as far as I remember. You just went in and if you wanted to dance, I think as far as I remember, you bought a ticket and you danced with a girl. But I couldn't dance anyway, so...
And the cinema was just British cinemas.
It's British cinemas, yeah, in the all in English.
And what about your duties? I mean, you know, the military
side. Yeah, it was the same again. You were just doing your training thing. You were doing your guards, and that was about it.
Now, you didn't have that long to go, I presume.
Not long, no, because we were...
Had you been extended?
Yeah, they extended it from 18 months to 6 months. When the Korean War started, they extended your time for another 6 months.
How did you react to that? I mean, what did you think?
Well, a lot of them were disappointed because they only had about a week before they come home, before they were sent home. So
that wasn't you?
No, that wasn't me, no. So that was a big disappointment because they were due to go home and then they were told they had to stay for another 6 months.
So what happened to you then?
Well, we were there then on normal duties up in the new territories and until we left to come home from D-Mob.
Now, did you come as a draft or did the battalion come home?
No, we didn't come home as your time came up for the national service. They were still out there when I left, so you were only doing your time and then getting sent home from there.
So what was the trip back like?
I don't remember much about the trip back, but I think...
Do you know which ship it was?
I'm not sure of the ship.
Yeah. And what
I think
month
it might have been the Windrush. I'm not sure. I'm not sure of the name of the ship.
And when was it?
It must have been about September, I should think.
So you'd been out in Hong Kong about 4 months?
Yeah, about 4 months, yeah.
And so you got back about November,
yeah,
October,
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, about November, October we went back, yeah. And then we went to Mill Hill Barracks.
Were you demobilised straight away from Mill Hill?
Yeah, we had a fortnight's leave and then we demobbed.
Now, what was the demobilisation? How did that work? I mean, what was the procedure?
Well, they just had us at Mill Hill Barracks, as far as I remember. They told you which TA lot you were going into, and that was it. You were out, and you just had your TA time to do so many camps a year, and so many fortnight's camp a year, and so many weekends, and that was it.
Did you get a suit?
You kept your old normal army uniform you had. All you had to do was change the badges if you went into another lot.
So you didn't actually get a demob suit, is it?
No, you never got a demob suit, no.
Now, we'll come to the military stuff, but we'll get you back into civilian life and finish off your TA stuff before we finish. Now, what about, what were you going to do? I mean, did you always know you were going to go back to the same job?
No, I didn't think about coming back to the same job. I forget which I did. Now I went to the building trade for a painting and decorating for a while.
So you didn't go back as an engineering thing?
No, I didn't go back in the engineering thing, no.
So why the building trade?
I don't know, I think that was more or less, you know, what I wanted to do at the time. After a while I went back into the Merchant Navy and we was going back and forth to Australia.
So when did you take up the Merchant Navy again, roughly?
Roughly? I think about 52, 53.
So quite soon.
Quite soon, yeah.
And that was your career. That was your career, Merchant Navy, was it?
Career, yeah. The career was Merchant Navy at the time, yeah.
And you did that a fair while.
I did that for a while, yeah. Back and forth to Australia, and then I came out and I was doing. I think I did a few more jobs in the building trade, and then I went to work for. Company repairing, delivering and repairing washing machines and fridges. But then I went to work for a bank for 26 years in NatWest.
Oh, so that was your career, really?
That was your career, yeah.
What were you doing for them?
I was a messenger driver for them.
Now, had your army life time, 2 years, it's a long time for a 20-year-old, you know, 18 to 20.
Yeah.
Had it had a big effect on you in the sense of, were you able to acclimatise to a civilian lifestyle straight away, or did it take you a while to get used to what civilians are like, civilians not having to do what you're told, that sort of thing?
Yeah, you felt a lot freer, you know, in what you were doing. You know, you didn't feel so tied down, but you still didn't forget what you'd seen before, you know, some of the sights you'd seen before. You still remember them up until today, but so you felt a lot freer.
So you didn't have any trouble sort of settling back to civilian life?
No problem.
Do you think the army had been good for you or bad for you in any way? You know, some people say it made a man of me, some people say it ruined me. What do you feel about the army?
Well, I think it might give you an idea of a bit of discipline, not like nowadays, you know, you do as you're told.
And that was a good thing?
Well, I think that's a good thing, yeah.
What else? Anything else you've done? Good or bad? Physically, mentally?
No, mentally, I think it does something mentally because of the things you see. But
now, is that bad?
Yeah, the bad things, that's what you
mean. Did it give you nightmares?
One gave me nightmares, yeah, but they're forgiven for getting that lately.
Well, we won't break it up, but I don't want to upset you, right. Yeah. So you did have some problems with that?
You did have one problem. That didn't happen until 5-6 years ago. I didn't have a nightmare until then. And then it happened, 4 or 5 times, and then it stopped.
And that's just a nightmare about an experience
you don't want to talk about.
Fair enough. Now, what about your TA service? Who was that with?
They put me in the London Irish Rifles at Sloan Barracks, there, in there. Sloan Courtway.
Sloan Barracks?
I think it's Sloan Barracks, yeah. I'm not sure. Is it Sloan Court?
You had to do this from what, 52 to...
You get 3 years for the...
So 52 to 55.
Yeah.
And what did you have to do?
Well, you went down, you had marches or training. You did so many weekends away a year. I think it was about 3 weeks away a year. Just a weekend camp. And that was marching and map reading. And then a fortnight's camp a year. But I missed a lot of it because I went back into the Merchant Navy. So I missed
that got you out of it.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy the TA or ever think of staying?
TA was all right, but the thing I found difficult, you went from a normal infantry regiment into a light infantry regiment, so the drill was completely different. Yeah. So you had a job to get from one to the other.
Now, the last thing we ask is about the associations you're in, because you're in at least two, I know. Perhaps if we do the one I know better, it's the Korean War Veterans Association, the London...
Yeah,
War.
BKVA. Yeah.
Now, tell me about that. When did you find out about... What does it do as far as you're concerned for you? Are you a committed member?
Yeah. No, I'm not a committee member, because I don't get out a lot there now. I didn't find out about it until about, 6 years ago? And I forget what it was I found out. I know what it was. I found out about a medal, and I asked. I went into the Korean embassy, and they told me about the BKVA, and I'd never heard about it. And that was the first I heard about it, and I joined it.
Now, what does it do, as far as you're concerned?
To me, it's a meeting every last Friday in the month, the BKVA. They're very good in a lot of ways to, you know, when people's in trouble, and to helping them out. But I don't know a lot more about, you know, what they do.
Do you get the magazine?
I get the magazine, yeah. Because they do dinners and they do Christmas dinners.
Do you attend many things?
Not a lot of them. I've been to two or three of them, like a dinner. One of them was down in the Soldiers and Sailors Club. Or there was one a little while ago, a parade in the Tower this year. And that was quite good and interesting.
Now, the possibly one reason you're not saying is you are a keen member, I think, from what you're saying, of the Middlesex. Now, what's it? It's a Middlesex
Club. The Middlesex Korean Club, yeah.
So it's a Middlesex. Is it Middlesex Regiment or just Middlesex?
Middlesex Regiment, yeah. Korean Club.
Now, what's that? It's fairly obvious, but yeah. If you explain it for us.
Well, they have meetings, as all the ones who've been in the Middlesex Regiment, in Enfield at the British Legion place, at Ponder's End, more or less. And that's more or less on the lines of the BKVA.
But do you meet many of your... I mean, are you in touch with any of your old comrades you remember then?
Oh, yeah. I would say, yeah, I see some of them there, you know, Mulvaney. The ones more or less you were... You can't remember all that was in the battalion. It's more or less you were in the same platoon with. And I was with him all the whole time in the same platoon. Some of the others you see at the Armistice Day Parade, they come up from different places. And you meet them again. And it's more or less on the lines of the BKVA, their range dinners, trips and this sort of thing.
But you go to more of their do's?
I don't go to a lot now, no. Because I'm a wife, I can't leave a lot much.
Thank you very much.
That's all right.